embracing his mission. How many is ready for the word this morning? How many believe that God can speak to us in his word and even through a Dane? So Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. And there are some where this may be their lifeline. And Father, we ask for that word to go forth. And Lord, may they not hear my voice, but hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Embracing his mission. I've been talking about going from being an orphan to becoming a son or a daughter. And when I talk about an orphan, I wasn't talking about a physical orphan. I'm talking about a spiritual orphan or an orphan of the heart. Wow, I can hear myself. I mean, an echo. But an orphan heart is somebody who don't feel they fit. They don't feel home. Somebody has struggles with self-esteem and rejection and abandonment. Somebody who don't trust people in authority. Somebody who has a hard time believing that somebody truly could love them. And they often hide because they think if people actually knew them, they wouldn't really, really love them. And I have to say something shocking to you. Every one of us struggle in some area with an orphan heart. And only the reason that God reveals it to us is to bring healing. So we become more like the mature sons and daughters that God wants us to be. Amen? So I mentioned a couple of things. Number one was, if you go from an orphan to a sonship, it has to do with what you believe that God believes about you. A son believes that he is chosen by the Heavenly Father. And he's set apart for a purpose. That he's safe in the hearts of God. And the second step is, if you want to have a sonship heart, you're open to correction and directions from God. People with an orphan heart has a very difficult time with being corrected. And they don't have a teachable spirit, tend not to. But when you are walking from being an orphan to be a sonship, you open yourself up to God's correction. Amen? And thirdly, when you are walking that journey from being an orphan to being a son and daughter, you have to understand that you're in a battle. There is a Lucifer who wants to keep you from having intimacy with God. He's jealous of you. And you need to know that he's trying to tell you that you are something that you are not. How many has ever been in those battles? And Jesus overcame them by the word. The Bible says you overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And Jesus came against the lies of the enemy by declaring the word. Finally, on the fourth one, I want to share today about embracing his mission for your life. Now, I've been reading this book by Jack Frost, and he says, Satan's mission... Just go to the next slide, if you don't mind. Satan's mission for you is, I will do it my... whose way? My way. I'll pursue the things that make me feel good and give me a sense of value and significance. I'll do it whose way? My way. That's Satan's mission for you. For you to do it your way. Because then he got you. But you know what? Jesus has a different mission. How many of us know that Jesus' mission is completely different? He says to you and I, if you want to be my disciples, Matthew 16, if you want to be my disciples, do what? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. And if you want to hang on to your comfort, if you want to hang on to your offense, if you want to hang on to your past, you would lose your life. Because life there is soulless life, is not physical life. It's soulless life. If you want to hang on to that past and that offense and that hurt, you will lose life. But if you're willing to let it go and let God help you and heal you, you will find life. If you're willing to forgive and turn the other cheek and say, God, let you be the revenger, there is freedom. But if you want to hang on to that past life and the past mindset, you will not find life. The key to finding His mission is to surrender. Amen. It hurts to surrender, but it is a key. It is the key to come under His will and not your own will. Amen. I heard this story. Jack Frost shares this story about Barry. Barry is a good friend of his, and Barry grew up in a home where his dad died when he was 8 years old. God is calling, Jeremiah 33:3. And in this, he had an orphan heart. Even though he is a believer in Jesus, he felt rejected and abandoned and couldn't trust authority whatsoever. It was always going to be about him, and it had to be his way. So he, whenever there was trouble at work, he was always in the center of it. Whenever there was trouble at church, he was always in the center of it. He had to have his way. But he asked Jack Frost, take me fishing. And Jack Frost, back then, was or had been a fisherman. And he fished groupers, which are fish that go from 170 to 350 pounds. And you catch them with a line and a hook. So they went out 80 miles from Florida, Merlin Beach. And they go out in a place called the Devil's Hole. That tells you something. And they go fishing. And everything is good. He had rented an old boat, 30 feet long. And everything was good until an unannounced storm comes. And the waves start rising to 12 feet. That's higher than the ceiling, by the way. And Barry, who has never been far away that he couldn't see land, began to do what? He begins to get seasick and began to throw up. And he lay sick on the floor of this boat. And Jack, who has been sailing for many, many years, he's just in his element. He's just enjoying the ride. And Barry is puking all over. And he wasn't let him in the wheelhouse because he didn't want to sick in the wheelhouse until he empties himself, and then he says, okay, you can come in the wheelhouse. But then the unforeseeable thing happened. When waves meet together and the crest at the same time, a 12-foot wave becomes now a 20-foot wave, and they call them the rookie waves. I come from the sea. I come from Denmark. I know a little bit about the waves. And this wave comes and crashes into the wheelhouse, scatters the wall, glasses flying everywhere, and hits Jack, who is behind the wheel, with cuts him and pierces him with this glass. And Barry falls off the couch and breaks two ribs and some fingers. And Jack knows now that it's serious. It is serious. And so he says to Barry, you need to go down because the pump that automatically kicks in to release the boat of water is clogged with glass. And you need to go and unclog it. And he says, remember, he doesn't ever want to be told what to do. And he says, I can't do it. I have broken ribs. And in that moment, Jack's put on the voice of a captain. And he says, listen, Barry, if you don't go down there in the next minute, we will die. Because this boat is filling with water, and it's going to lose its balance in the next few minutes, and we will not survive. Do it. And against his selfish will, he opens the lid, crawls down, and unclogs the pump, and he comes back to land the next day. The boat is almost demolished. And when he crawls up on the harbor, I don't know what you call that, deck, duck, whatever it is, whatever it's called. He falls on his knees, and he kisses the ground and says, "Thank you, I'm alive." But hear me, what he does. The next day, he goes to his boss and says, "I am so sorry for being a pain in your life, from always causing problems, always wanting my own will." He goes to his pastor and says, "Sorry, pastor, for always being a thorn in your side, for always wanting to do my will. I am so sorry." He goes to his wife and says, "I'm so sorry for always wanting to do it my way." And amazingly, God's blessing began to follow him. And within 1 week, he leads 3 people to Christ. Within 1 year, he's promoted in his business because now the boss can trust him. Amen? I'm just sharing the story because this man, even though he was a believer, he had to surrender to God. And he did it through a crisis. Many people will not surrender until they go through a crisis. That's why James says, "Consider the pure joy." Nobody's going to say amen to this one. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Hallelujah. But guess what? They got to be a submitting. They got to be say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Amen. And I just need to say this. Because some people take this thing all wrong. They think that if I am to deny myself, pick up the cross and follow him, that means I deny my own feelings. That means I deny who I am. But that's not how God means at all. It actually means that denying yourself is I exposes my feelings. I am angry. I have struggles. I am worried, God. But take them from me. Because when you submit to him and deny yourself, actually you go on a journey to become the very person that God called you to be. Hallelujah for cell phones. God is good. So I was, I'm getting where I'm going to need to go, okay? I'm not there yet. So hang with me. Are you with me? Because the mission is following Jesus. But as it says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons and mature sons of God. But when you're led by the Spirit, you actually end up doing what God has created you to do. Amen? All right, hang with me. I was just been reading a book by a guy called Paul Richardson, and he talks about the risk, and he's really talking about the risk of embracing God's mission. And he shares this story. He's from Indonesia. He's a principal of a Christian school, or was a principal of a Christian school in Indonesia. And in December 26, 2004, he was there. How many remember what happened in December 26, 2004? Tsunami. 283,000 people died in a matter, some of them in a matter of seconds, some of them over a day or two. He stood there in Indonesia among people who was completely lost. Everyone had lost somebody that they loved. Can you just imagine, just sitting in the pews right now, thinking of yourself, I have lost, just imagine being in that boat. Sorry, being in those shoes. Thinking about you have just lost somebody that you loved. He looked at them with hopelessness and despairing eyes. And there was a group of elders. Imagine yourself being a group of elders who just lost a loved one. And he went up to them And this is what he said. I thought it was so fitting for today. He said to them, from out of all the thousands of people who were lost, God chose to keep you and these others alive one more day. And that must mean that he has a purpose for each of you. How many is alive today? It might mean that he has a purpose for you. They began to lean forward. Something about my words had caught their attention. I continued, will you lead your people again? Several men lifted their heads. The invitation to respond had fanned the embers of life and their tired eyes. I pressed forward. Those little children playing over there, and he pointed, are waiting for you to stand up and take action. They need you to look into their eyes and call them into their future. I believe God is offering you the chance to help the next generation grow up to become men and women of strength and courage. Imagine what might happen if they saw you creating, working, rebuilding your lives and offering them a new hope. Can you imagine if we took our little kids and the kids in the neighborhood and began to hold them in their hands and says, you are a man and you are a man of God. You are a woman and you have all that it takes to be a woman and being beautiful and rising up to be a woman of God. Can you imagine how we can be an example of hope to a whole bunch of hopelessness kids? A generation that is growing up without knowing Jesus and in many cases have no home that's stable. Can you imagine? We have now a society and a culture in some cases where the parent says, it's up to you to decide whether you want to be a male or female. I don't know, but that burns in my heart. When this man, Paul Richardson, said that to these elders, they began to think, maybe we can do something. Maybe there is something we can change. We do not necessarily have to live in hopelessness forever. Yes, we are grieving. And together, they began to come up with this. Why don't we go to the village? Let's rebuild one house. And when you finish that house, let's go to the next house and build that house. And that's exactly what they did. My friends, you may have one day, you may have 10 days, you may have 10 years, you may have 30 years left, but are you ready to embrace his mission for your life? And my friends, the mission is, in simple sentence, to receive his love and to give it away. And who do you give it to? Whoever God puts across your path. Amen. So one, to use the story out of, I could have used a multitude of stories from the Bible because it follows the same kind of theme. But let me use the story of Judges. Remember the story of Gideon? How many remember the story of Gideon? Let me use him as an example of embracing God's mission. Now Israel was bombarded. They were not bombarded. They were attacked by Midianites and their cronies because Israel had turned away from God. He had turned away. And so Israel was open to the enemy. How many knows that we've turned away from God? We open our door for the enemy. So here comes the enemy, taking their crops, burning their crops, stealing their cattle, and an angel shows up. Because now the Midianite, now Israel is crying out to God for help. So in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, an angel shows up in a wine press. Why in a wine press? Because Gideon is hiding. When you live as an orphan, you are hiding, okay? You're afraid of the enemy. You're afraid of people. You're afraid of everything. And there he is in the wine press. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He didn't feel mighty at all. "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Well, all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of" who? Some of you have prayed and wondered, where is God? The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength." This is his mission. Go in strength. Go in the strength you have and save Israel of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Go in my strength and deliver Israel. And he says, "Pardon me? I think you got the wrong person." "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my family." Some of you say, How can you call me to be effective? How can you call me to be a light to other people? I'm messed up. I screwed up. I did all this. I'm not right. But God says this. The Lord answered, "I'll be with you." And that's the key. How many know that's the key? "I will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Why? Because God is with you. Do you know that God is with you? And do you know that when God calls you to a mission, it will always be something you cannot do on your own? Some people say, "Well, he will never ask me to do something I couldn't do." That's not true. He will always ask you to do something you could not do. So if you know the story, let me just fast forward it. The story goes, Gideon is doubting God. So he asks for three signs. Well, he asks for two signs, and God gives him actually three signs. And shows him that he is with him. How many knows that God is with you? Hallelujah. Finally, he says this in chapter 2, I think it is. Finally, he says this: "Go and tear down the Asherah pole." You see, you can't enter into God's mission if you still have worship of false gods. And so it's a clean it up, tear down that Asherah pole and use it to build an altar for God. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord. Amen. How many knows that we sometimes have false gods in our lives? Tear them down. Money cannot be your God. Your career cannot be your God. Even your family cannot be your God. Let them on the altar of God. Amen. And then finally comes the battle. And so now Gideon is convinced. He gathers up 30,000 soldiers. And God says, "That's way too many. That's way too many." Say that with me. "It's way too many." And he says, "Take all the ones who are fearful and send them home." 20,000 leaves. 10,000 is left. And God says, "It's way too many." Say it again, way too many. Way too many. We think we have to have a full house. We have to have all this to be able to do what we want to do. God says, "No, it's way too many. It's way too many." Why does he say that? Because if we think it's in our strength, we will take the glory. But if it's reduced to the fact that we can do nothing without him, he will get the glory. So he says, "Take the people to the water and let them drink. And those who bows down and lips up the water like a dog," you know? I can't demonstrate. "Let them go. And those who kneel down and put the water in their hands and drink, Keep them. Do you know why? I heard Chris Valentin say, and I thought it was true. Do you know why that some people only nailed down and didn't actually lap up the water like a dog? Because there were some old people that had arthritis in the knees, and they couldn't get all the way down there. And so that was the one he used for his army. And you know, I thank you, Jesus, for I'm getting to that age where I can belong to that group. And he says, those are the army I want. That's the army. And remember the story? He tells them to take a trumpet and a clay pot with a torch inside. And 300 people gather around. I don't know how many there were, 40, 50,000 enemy soldiers. And when Gideon gives a sign, they all blow the trumpet, and chaos comes in the enemy camp. And they defeat the Midianites. That's the story. What happened to Gideon? God worked on his identity. He started with working on his identity by saying to him, you're a mighty warrior. Secondly, he showed himself to be faithful to Gideon. Thirdly, God said, this is your mission. And hear me, when you end up in God's mission, it's no longer about yourself. It's all about that mission. The way you die to yourself is by entering in to God's mission for you. It's not all about you. It's all about him. Today and for the rest of your life, will you be willing to serve him? Because as you do, he will open your eyes to the injustice and the pain and the needs around you. And we begin to reach out to those. You're actually doing what God created you to do. Amen. Let's stand.